sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing the inner meaning of Negro life, based on the prize-winning bestseller, New World A-Coming by Roy Ottley. Today, the story of Negro humor, as seen through the eyes of Langston Hughes, well-known poet and novelist. Starring Canada Lee as Langston Hughes, Gordon Heath as narrator, and Josh White and his guitar.
Negroes laugh at many of the same things white Americans do, but they also laugh for different reasons at different things. Some incidents of Jim Crowism which Langston Hughes has experienced have amused him more than they have angered him, due as nearly as he can analyze them to their very absurdity. But here, let the well-known American poet recount these incidents for you himself.
Once I was driving south from New York to Washington. Just below the Capitol, those of us in the car became thirsty, and of course, someone suggested stopping at a roadside refreshment hut we saw ahead. We knew we couldn't eat or drink inside since there is a legal Jim Crow in Virginia. But it was my intention to purchase a few bottles of soda and bring them out to my friend. I stopped the car, got out, and walked toward the front door of the hut. It was a screen door with a brass handle on it. I knocked, and I saw a poorly dressed old southerner, the proprietor, holding the door on the inside. He shouted through the screen.
You can't come in here.
Well, I want to buy a bottle of soda. Have you got any Pepsi-Cola?
What do you want?
There's some sodas.
You can't get them through the front here. Go around to the side of the house.
But there's no door there.
You get them through a hole.
A hole? Where?
Walk around the side. We'll serve you there. We got a hole there cut out for Negroes.
The man continued frantically to hold the door as though I were a dangerous savage intent on murder. I went around the side of the little frame building, and there, sure enough, was a square hole cut in the wall through which colored people were served. I didn't buy, of course, but I had to laugh. Who could help it? Almost within the shadow of the capital of American democracy, a little 2x4 roadside shack had cut a hole in its walls through which to serve Negroes. A colored person could not even come in the door. That seemed to me so absurd as to belong in Alice in Wonderland.
Down in Washington, Washington, D.C., they hate a black man like me. How I know, God knows I've been there. It's a low-down, dirty shame how they Jim Crow. It ain't right, no, it ain't right. It ain't right, no, it ain't right. It ain't right, no, it ain't right. No, Jim Crow ain't right. It ain't right, no, it ain't right. It ain't right, no, it ain't right. It ain't right, no, it ain't right. No, Jim Crow ain't right.
There was another time in Savannah, Georgia. I wanted to buy a copy of the Sunday New York Times, and I couldn't find it nowhere in town except at the railroad station. You perhaps know there are colored waiting rooms in southern railroad stations. Well, in the colored Jim Crow waiting room, there was no newsstand. So I went outside on the sidewalk and around into the white waiting room, where I bought the Times without incident. But coming out of the station, just at the door, a policeman stopped me and said, You can't come in and out of this front door.
I know, but, officer, I just bought a paper, and there's no newsstand in the colored waiting room.
I don't care nothing about that. You can't come in here.
Okay, then
let me out. You can't go out this door, neither.
But, officer, I came in through this door.
I don't make no difference. You can't get out.
But there's no other way out except through train sheds down the track.
That's right.
Officer, look, I just came in this way.
Well, you can't go out this way. Negroes can't use this door.
Well, how do I get out then?
Only way I see is for you to walk the track.
So, in order for me to get out of the Savannah station, I have to go through the train shed.
Yep.
And follow the railroad tracks to the street crossing.
That's right. That's the only way for Negroes to get out of this place.
I've never experienced anything so absurd before in my life. You know, the seriousness of that cop and the utter stupidity of being at a door but not permitted to go through it kept me laughing all day. You see, I grew up in Kansas, so the absurdity of Southern Jim Crow were new to me at that time, and, of course, unbelievably quaint.
They can set the Negro free. Why is he still in slavery? Why is he still in slavery? It's Jim Crow. Now freedom for all is what he said. Free to suffer till he's dead. Free to suffer till he's dead of Jim Crow.
Once, when I was about 18, I was coming up from Mexico City to attend school in Cleveland. I went into the diner one evening as the train was heading north through Texas. I was seated alone when a man came in and spoke to the steward.
Steward?
Yes, sir.
I want a table.
Yes, sir. Right here, sir?
No. I don't like the corner tables. Right over the wheels. Give me a table in the center of the car, please.
Yes, sir. As you wish, sir. A waiter. Menu, please.
The man sat down up opposite me at my table. He started to look at the menu. A few moments later, he stared at me with a look of utter amazement. Suddenly, he jumped up as though he'd been shot and cried,
Why? You're a Negro. Why? You're a Negro. Why?
I'm still laughing at the incident. And I suppose the waiter who's... He stared at me with a lead from the dining room as though he'd sat down in front of a lion by mistake. Still laughing at the incident. Who saw it is still laughing, too. As many Negroes as there are in Texas, what is there about one at a table in a public dining car that can so startle a white man that he runs away wild-eyed without his meal? Certainly the comedy of Jim Crow in action often outweighs the tragedy of so pathetic a mind as that man possessed.
Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Oh, Lord, this train is Jim Crow. Stop that train so I can ride. Stop Jim Crow so I can ride. Stop that train so I can ride. Black and white folk riding side by side. Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Oh, Lord, the train is Jim Crow.
By no means, though, is everything funny about Jim Crow. Once I had to wait for hours before driving my car onto a ferry boat in Louisiana.
All colored cars line up behind the white. Get on the ferry.
Now, what's going on here, mister? Come on now. Sir, when do you suppose I'll be able to get onto that ferry?
You'll have to get back on that line behind the white cars and wait your turn.
But by the time the ferry crosses the river and returns, more and more white cars will have gathered.
Now, don't you raise your voice.
But the ferry's made four trips now, and each time the white cars fill the boat, Negroes can't get on.
You want to cross, or don't you?
Yes, but, well, why do Negro cars have to fall back to the very end of each newly formed line?
You're in the South. Don't forget that.
That was not funny. I was due to lecture at a colored college 100 miles away that night, and I wanted to get there on time. Jim Crow caused me to be late. It's like that now, soldiers tell me, in regards to bus service for colored army men at some southern camps. If the white soldiers fill the bus, the colored soldiers must wait for the next one. By the time another bus comes, enough white soldiers have gathered to fill it, too. So again, the Negroes must wait. Thus it goes until sometimes the colored soldiers never get to town at all that night. Their passes run out with them still waiting at the gates of the camp for space in a bus. That, of course, is not funny either. Soldiers writing home about these insane inequalities at Democratic Army camps don't seem to muse.
United we stand, divided we fall. Let's make this land safe for one and all. I've got a message, and you know it's right. Black and white together, unite and fight. That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching. Marching down freedom's road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. Nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road.
This is Gordon Heath, ladies and gentlemen. May I say that you are listening to stories by Langston Hughes, which were published in an article entitled White Folks Do Some Funny Things. Songs are by Josh White and his guitar. Canada Lee is impersonating the author. Now, returning to our story, or should I say stories, here is one that was told to Mr. Hughes by the late Robert Russell Moton, former principal of Tuskegee, world's largest Negro school.
Dr. Moton once told this story at the Southern Assembly when I was present. Before I retell it, I think that certain factors should be explained. You see, in the South, if a white woman were to be seen shaking hands with a Negro, the Negro might very well be whisked off to jail and tried on all sorts of false charges. That is the unwritten law of the South, and that is the fact. Well, Dr. Moton said that he'd just come down from the zone north and that he'd taken a Pullman as far as Atlanta, Georgia. When he stepped from the Pullman in the early morning in the Atlanta station, he suddenly heard a woman cry out,
"Help! I'm falling! Oh!"
He turned and saw that a woman had caught her heel in the top step of the train and was falling forward. Naturally, his first impulse as a man was to reach out his arms and catch her. But when he looked up and saw that she was a white woman, he dropped his arms. At this point in his story, the student audience roared with laughter. You see, every one of those colored kids knew that for a black man to catch a white woman in his arms in Atlanta might mean a lynching party. Naturally, Dr. Moton dropped his arms. The woman landed head first on the concrete platform. And Dr. Moton lived to tell the tale. This amuses students no end. But somehow, you see, I could not laugh. It seemed to me one of the saddest stories in the world.
It ought to be plain as the nose on your face. There's room in this land for every race. Some folk think that freedom just ain't right. Those are the very people we want to fight. That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching. Marching down freedom's road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road.
The colored papers not long ago carried an item colored people read with laughter. It seems that on the Jim Crow cars in the South, crowded as they are, white conductors and news vendors, they often take up a whole pair of seats with their paraphernalia, to the exclusion of the passengers, of course. And there were two colored soldiers standing in the crowded aisle, and one said to the other,
"Boy, am I getting tired.
Yeah, we've been on our feet more than 4 hours now.
Sure tough making these long jumps, man.
Why don't we put those magazines in the conductor's box on the floor?
Hey, that's a good idea. Then we can sit for a while. I don't guess the conductor will mind.
Boy, this seat sure's good.
Sure good to get a seat, all right.
Well, I'm going to hang up my hat and coat and get real comfortable.
Say, man, be careful. Don't touch that cord.
What cord?
That cord up there. If you touch that, that'll make the train stop.
I ain't touching no cord, man.
Okay, man, just sit down.
Hey, how come you know so much about that cord?
Oh, I used to work in the railroad station, Red Cap.
Oh.
That was before I got in this army uniform. Now, if you pull that cord once, that'll make the train stop.
Yeah?
If you pull it twice, that makes it go.
Oh.
Hey, you. Get off that seat.
Why? What the...
I'm the conductor, and I said get off that seat.
But we got tired of standing up, mister.
Yeah, we're tired.
Didn't you see I had my box on that seat?
Yeah, but we put it down there on the floor. It'll be all right. Nobody will touch it.
Get off that seat and put the box back where you found it.
You're being unreasonable, man. We're tired.
If you don't do as I tell you, I'm going to stop this train and put you off.
Hey, he's pulling the car.
Hey, look here, Mr. Conductor. What you want to do that for?
You're bad niggers. Now get off the train.
We's due back in camp in the morning. We ain't going to be no AWL.
I'm telling you to get off this train.
We ain't getting off, see? We's going back to camp.
What?
But you's getting off, not us.
What?
Open the door, bud.
Hey,
right, open that door. Come on, get out of here.
Pull it out. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who's pushing
it? Hey, pull that cord. Pull it twice now, quick, before it gets back on. That's it. Now close the door, bud. Close that door. Hey, the train's moving.
Yeah.
The train's moving.
Come on.
I suppose the environment creates varying nuances in regard to humor. Certainly there's nothing funny about a man being thrown off a train in the middle of the night, not if he's a good man. But that particular conductor, in Negro's eyes, was a devil. And everybody enjoys seeing a devil get his due.
Now I wonder what the devil keeps a-grumbling about. He's chained in hell, and he can't get out. When he was in heaven, well, he wouldn't understand. So they kicked him out of heaven, 'cause he wouldn't join the band. They kicked him out of heaven. They kicked him out of heaven. They kicked him out of heaven, 'cause he didn't want to join the band.
The devil getting his due thinking is what conditions many Negro minds. That, of course, accounts for the deep belly laughter that greets such jokes as the one concerning the white man who came to a Negro church in the South to make a most passionate speech about the evils of Hitler and Hirohito. And he was right. But in the course of the speech, he said,
Why, you know these Japs are really trying to wipe all us white folks off the face of the earth. Yes, sir, that's what they're trying to do.
A dark and wrinkled old grandma in the Amen Corner, who had known 70 years of Jim Crow, said,
Wouldn't be a bad idea if all the bad ones was wiped out.
These are the kind of anecdotes that currently amuse Negroes in America. New ones are being born by the minute. Their humor is based on the absurdity of many white Americans giving freedom and democracy such a grandiose play while still selling Negroes strawberry sodas through a hole, or threatening to throw black soldiers off a train for objecting to the Jim Crow car. Negroes think democracy's left hand apparently must not know what its right hand is doing. When the daily papers recently published the news about the president signing a bill granting freedom to the Philippines, a colored man in front of a newsstand in Harlem held up his paper and laughed loudly.
We ain't even got the Philippines. And here they are granting them freedom. White folks sure do some funny things.
That statement I would qualify thus. Some white folks do the funniest things. Personally, I know that not all white Americans practice Jim Crow at home and preach democracy abroad. But, well, what puzzles me about those who do is their utter lack of humor concerning their own absurdities. I've read that Hitler has no sense of humor either. Well, I suppose the greatest killers cannot afford to laugh. Those most determined to Jim Crow are merely and grimly killing democracy in America.
What is America to me? A name, a map, the flag I see. A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, the friends that I have found, the folks beyond the railroad, and the people all around, the farmer and the worker, the sailor on the sea, the men who built this country, that's America to me. The house I live in, the goodness everywhere, a land of wealth and beauty, with enough for all to share, a land that we call freedom, the home of liberty, with its promise for tomorrow. That's America to me.
You have been listening to New World A-Coming, the seventh in a series of programs devoted to the Negro's contribution to American life. In today's broadcast, Mr. Canada Lee, distinguished American actor, impersonated Langston Hughes. Gordon Heath was narrator, and our guest was Josh White and his guitar. We invite you to be with us again next Sunday at 3:03. New World A-Coming is written by Roy Otley. Today's radio presentation was an adaptation of Langston Hughes' story, White Folks Do Some Funny Things, which appeared in Common Ground magazine. The program is produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. John Velasco assisted. Music was conducted by Bill Wirtis. The theme song was composed by Duke Ellington. Members of the cast included Ralph Bell, Tony Barrett, Jimmy Wright, Martin Wolfson, Randy Eccles, Hilda Offley, and Grace Rogers. This was a public service feature of WMCA. Speaking, this is America's leading independent station.